Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. It's been a busy one. A taping of XM 203, Sirius 217, Fred Wall and Artie Source. Then we jumped into Philadelphia, WWDB, Marianne Costello, Sal Tartaglia. We find ourselves in Pittsburgh before we go to Indianapolis and Phoenix and then complete the night. But that was in the past. The other thing's in the future. This is now. The Wrestle Talk across the country. The boys are back. The Bird Boys. Here's truly Mark Mancini coming out of Los Angeles. Ralph Williams coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, alongside smoking Jim Frazier, 347-205-9631. This show's 45 minutes long. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay that red carpet down, put that podium in its place, hand off the mic. Ralph, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, we are loaded up 92 live, and it's climbing. Each and every week we have built something. It's kind of like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Absolutely. Thanks for thank you, Mark, for the introductions, as always. RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me, Facebook, Twitter, Wimkin, and also on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. I've gained some subscribers in the last couple of weeks, which is great. And so also you can watch my archive shows of The Way I See It, Sports Corner, and also our Wednesday night podcast that Smokin' Jim and I do at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays called Talkin' Wrestling. So, that's where we are there, Mark.
Well, before I give it over to Smokin' Jim, you got a sponsor for the show, so let everybody know who that is.
Yes, DJ Fun. DJ Fun, 412-545-4317. If you don't call DJ Fun for a party, it's a crime. Because the reason I say that is DJ Fun's rates are not high. He will not take you to the cleaners. And he has well over 10 years or more of experience. 2015 and 16 DJ of the Year by the website Thumbtack. Call DJ Fun today, 412-545-4317. Don't delay. Call today.
Good work. As I give it over to you, Smokin' Jim, the godfather of everything. And, man, oh, man, them women keep popping up. I'm saying to myself, if you need a date, you check in with Smokin' Jim Frazier.
Thank you, Mark. Instagram, Smokin' Jim Frazier. Facebook, Jim Frazier.
Well, I'll tell you right now, let me get to these questions because they're coming in, and I don't want to delay because I know we got a topic. But Barry from Utica, New York, comes in and basically says, guys, I've listened to your show. God, I got to know that what the thing is on Wednesday with these other guys. I can't get enough of your wrestling show, but can somebody tell me what's going on with Sami Zayn? Is he a caddy? Is he a butler? What is he? Now I see he's an honorary oos with these guys. How crazy is this? Where are they going to turn on him? When's he going to turn on them? Any take? Ralph, I'll give you first shot. I'll give it over to Smokin' Jim because I got one hell of a take on this.
Well, who knows at this point? Rumors are circulating that this coming Friday could be the end of that. Jey Uso doesn't like him. So I'm assuming that Sami Zayn, the rumor is there's going to be a last-minute match put on Extreme Rules. And I have two additional matches. One of them was changed, and the other one is new that is to be added. And I'll tell you about that later. But, it's supposed to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos for the tag team belts. But we're going to find out what happens. At Extreme Rules, that may not be the case, but we'll find out. We'll see what goes on. Nothing has been said, and it's not in stone yet.
Smokin' Jim, any thoughts in that?
Yeah, I tell you what, the more and more I look at Sami Zayn, he's looking more and more like a Samoan to me. I think he's in there permanent, man. He's part of the bloodline. All the way.
Well, here's the problem I have with him, and we all know with the experience and knowledge watching wrestling and following it, You guys are second to none bringing it across. I can care less how many podcasts are out there, but you guys bring it every week, and you're top-notch with the facts and the knowledge. But the Sami Zayn thing, you know, 2 weeks ago we saw it was almost like Kevin Owens had a talk with him. We thought he was going to turn. Then we thought, okay, now they're going to turn, take off the shirt. What are you doing? Then they give him an honorary use. But this is almost like a given, like Dominic and Rey Mysterio. You know it's coming. You just don't know when it's coming, but you know it's coming. And I think sooner than later, because Kevin Owens now is teaming up with Gargano there, you know, and really the consensus is to have him and Sami Zayn take the belts from the Usos. But the more and more this thing plays out, you know, Jay can care less about him. And, you know, I just think he's being used as a pawn in this game just to, you know, kind of derail, you know, and help out the Usos and help out Reigns in himself. Any thought to that, Ralph? And then we'll give it over to Smoking Jim.
Yeah, you know, the Bloodline, they're notorious for using people, you know, and being crafty. And, you know, and that's the way they are. And they've been successful because of it. And I think now with Sami Zayn, they're going to use him, and he's going to pay the price because he's going to find out that they really don't want him around. They're just using him as a pawn, like you said, to do what he has to do to help them. And as long as it has to do with Roman Reigns keeping the belt and the Usos keeping the tag team belts, they don't care what he does. I mean, he could serve them water all night long, and, you know, that would be good for them because you know, that's the way it is. So they made him an honorary use, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see what the cousin's going to be playing into this, too, that they brought over. So it's going to get interesting. But you're right, blood's thicker than water. I think it's just a matter of time. It could be before the end of October that they definitely turn on him. But I don't know who he's going to save from losing a belt. I think it'll be Roman Reigns will be saved before the Usos. I think the Usos will give up the belts before Roman Reigns does. Any thought to that, Smoking Jim?
Yeah, I mean, Mark, you and Ralph are probably right, but I really hope you're wrong. You made a great observation, Mark, because Solo, I think, is the cousin. I can see him and Sammy being tag team partners, you know, down the line. So there could be a role for Sammy teaming up with Solo. He walked him out to the ring Monday night for his match. So they get along pretty good. So I can see maybe Sammy having a long tenure like Paul Heyman with the Usos.
Well, we got Bruce coming in from Bellingham, Washington, says, guys, my favorite wrestler is the guy that they brought in here. Boy, his opening music is something, and he's got the best-looking girl in the business. Any thoughts on Karrion Kross? Ralph, I love this guy. I'll wait till you guys talk. I'll give it to you first. And, boy, this guy's right on. He does have one of the best women in the business.
Yeah, he does. He's going after Drew McIntyre. They're going to fight at Extreme Rules. It's going to be a strap match. And, you know, Karrion Kross is I tell you what, I've seen him team up with Sami Callihan. And if you don't know who Sami Callihan is, he's a psycho, and he's an Impact. And him and Karrion Kross used to be partners. And then when he went to NXT, and he became the champion down there a few times. I mean, Samoa Joe had won that title a few times down there. He beat Samoa Joe. So Karrion Kross is a tough guy. And Drew McIntyre is in for a rude awakening here with this guy, because this guy's not going to go away, and he's looking for Roman Reigns. He wants belts. So, you know, who knows? We'll see what he does. But I have seen him say some things to Roman Reigns. He's got a lot of guts, and he's a mean, nasty guy and he has a lot of moves in his arsenal. And I think that he's, you know, I agree with you guys. He's going to be a really good wrestler. And I believe that he's, you know, he's going to be a thorn in Roman Reigns' side if that's where it goes.
Well, before I give it over to you, Smoking Jim, we're getting loaded. Michael from Oceanside says, this guy reminds me of Psycho Sid. Wow. And, you know, I can, boy, I can't wait to elaborate on this one. But Smoking Jim, as I give it over to you, the entrance, the whole thing, the bat, the whole, the girl coming out, man, and everything, it's just unbelievable. Any thought to carrying across?
Well, I've been watching that psycho all the way from NXT, and I tell you what, his girlfriend is psycho, and I mean, his girlfriend is sexy. Excuse me. I tell you what, man, that's gonna be great. This guy's he's really a killer, and although I got to make the announcement, I'm boycotting NXT for a week. Because I just found out my Mandy Rose got engaged, so I got a boycott. I'm heartbroken, brother.
Oh, yeah. Jerry from, Augusta, Georgia, chiming in on the whole carrying cross, basically says, yeah, he's got some artillery, man. It's amazing to see what he'll do to McIntyre. I'm all for him. But I can't wait for a Strowman Karrion Kross clash. Yeah, you could probably see that. But here's the thing I like about Karrion Kross. I mean, he just comes in, you know, it's almost like the Macho Man with Elizabeth in the day, the Beauty and the Beast, and he comes when you least expect it. The distraction comes. But, man, I'll tell you, I think you hit it right there on the money, Ralph, in more ways than one. And a lot of people are saying this, too, about it. I think he's going to destroy Drew McIntyre. I really do. Strap match or not, this guy's getting one hell of a push. If it's Strowman, we'll find out. It could be set up with Reigns. It could be a little too early. I think that Reigns match would have to happen after The Rock dragged this thing out, because I think he's going to be a villain for a while before he turns face. Any thought to that, Ralph?
Yeah, I think Karrion Kross is going to WWE is going to make him pay his dues. He's going to have to really wrestle some matches. The first to start off going up against Drew McIntyre is actually a great start for him, and we'll see how fast he can climb, and we'll see where he goes. I mean, this past week, on SmackDown, Drew McIntyre come out with the strap. He was able to overwhelm him, and his girlfriend sprayed some fire in Drew's face. So it goes to show you what she's willing to do. So if that's going to be what's going to happen, Karrion Kross is going to be a dangerous guy, and that's as simple as that.
Harry from Waterbury, Connecticut, chiming in. He says, I can't stand watching Raw with Dominic and the Dummies. Finn Balor each week comes out and tries to recruit.
Oh, my gosh.
And Dominic has no clue on what he wants to do with the chair. Sit in the damn chair, you dummy, and listen to Wrestle Talk Across the Country podcast.
There you go.
but he brings up something interesting, because I think I'm going to coin that phrase next to Harry from Waterbury, Connecticut. Because this is the Dominic and the Dummies, because it just seems to get bizarre each and every week. He has no acting skills, Dominic. No mic skills. He comes out, you know, you see him against Rollins. He doesn't know whether to hit him or give him the thing. And, I mean, it's so stupid. They don't know what to do with this guy. Smoking Jim, we'll go to you first. Give it over to Ralph. Dominic and the Dummies. Sounds like a band.
That's a good one. Dominic and the Dummies. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark. I tell you what, I don't know what they're going to do. A couple of times I thought that he was going to go back with his dad. Then he would get down on his knees or sit in a chair or not know what he wants to do with the chair. So, I think that whole group needs a spokesman, a
Yeah, well, we're getting comments left and right, and you know, Phil chiming in. We got, man, the 617's lighting up. Somebody's going, if you're going to turn a guy villain, he's going to have some kind of sensibility on how to be a villain. Put a mean face on. Don't look like he got robbed.
You know what he looks like, guys? He looks like somebody shot his dog. I mean, you know, you ever see his face? You know.
Looks like he got, you know, he showed up late and he got reprimanded. That's the problem here. But
exactly.
I'll tell you one thing. If you take Ripley out of this equation, these three guys couldn't find their way out of a door if all four sides were open.
Well,
I mean, really.
Damian
Priest has no idea what he's doing. He's trying to rile up a crowd and everything. And Finn Balor he has no mic skills. Somewhere along the line, creative minds at WWE are going to figure out that these guys aren't the guys. Who sat here and said, man, this is a team where we can market? You know, you look at teams you marketed, and we saw Nexus, we saw The Shield, we saw, you know, the Four Horsemen. But you see this, Dominic and the Dummies. I mean, it's like, you know... And I will tell you this,
They all had mic skills, Mark. They all were able to talk. They all got excited. These guys have no anything, energy, nothing. They just talk, and they, you know, and Finn Balor, you can sometimes, the way he talks, like he got marbles in his mouth.
And you're right.
You got Damian Priest.
Exactly right.
Know.
Ben from Mankato, Minnesota, and I don't want to butcher that. Man, it must be cold there in the winter. But he said, referring to Smoke and Jim, Mandy Rose should be by herself. She doesn't need the oddities outside. And those two girls are whack jobs. You don't need to put it some kind of good. It looks like the Beauty and the Beast. And the Beast usually are left for a man, but these two women just make a beast.
Oh my!
We're getting another question. Does anybody know where the Wonder Woman Ash has gone? I don't know what they've done with her. I haven't seen her.
Well, she took the mask off on Monday night on Raw. She took the mask off, so she lost. She lost a match, and Candice LeRae came up from NXT. And she lost a match to Candice LeRae, took the mask off and sat there and looked, you know, she looked like somebody stole her cape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
Somebody
we'll see
said
what
we need to bring back
her.
Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch and make this thing interesting. Alexa Bliss and Asuka look out of place every time Bianca Belair comes out. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Another one that has no mic skills either is Bayley. Bayley has no mic skills. I mean, I don't know what she's done. She used to be in shape, and she's let herself go. God, we're getting questions.
Yeah, well, she broke her leg last year, and, you know, maybe she didn't rehab properly and probably got a little lazy and didn't really get in shape. And that's probably what's going on with Bayley. I mean, you know, so... Injuries will do that to you, and I'm not sure how old she is, you know. And you know, once you reach in your 40s, you know, you start having some your bone structure and stuff like that starts changing, and you know, you can't take it like you used to, and you
Chris
know that's why wrestlers
from,
get
Chris,
out in their 40s.
Chris coming in from Fresno, he said, "I got the perfect job for Omos. I hear in Pittsburgh, you guys need an offensive line." Why doesn't Omos leave WWE?
Oh my gosh! No! You know what to do? Hand it off to him in short yardage. There you go. Hand it off to him in short yardage. He can run like Refrigerator Perry right up the.
He goes. Have Omos run the ball against the Jets. Maybe that offense will get going in Pittsburgh.
Hey, I got something for you, Mark. I got something real good for you. Okay. Are you familiar with Jim Mora Jr., Mark?
Yes.
All right, former coach at UCLA.
Yep.
Well, you do know he's the head coach up at Connecticut now. Okay. His running game is so bad, his running game, that he has a 300-pound defensive tackle who used to be a running back, and he converted to a defensive tackle when he started in his sophomore year in high school. And guess what? He's starting him as the running back this week because the running game is so poor.
Wow. That's amazing.
So this is Scott Fromoff, believe me.
Somebody else said, well, Pat McAfee used to kick for the Colts. Can he find a job in some NFL city with poor kicking? I don't know what McAfee wants to do, guys. This is a guy that he gets an offer to do college game day. Then he gives up the I think this guy's taking off a little more than he can chew. Any thought to that?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he you're right. He don't know what he wants to do. I think he was hamstrung because he had a podcast and a sports podcast, and several corporations or businesses or sports media companies gave him money for that. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden they just pulled out. And he was caught off guard. He was never given a warning, nothing. And, I think my head would be spinning too if I got caught off guard and I made millions like that. And now all of a sudden I got to find another line of work because WWE obviously isn't paying him enough that he had to go out and get that job during the college game. So, I mean, so here we are. And Corey Graves is just keeping the seat warm for him. So, I mean,
Right. Hey, Smoking Jim, any thought to that? Because I'm going to chime in on that after you.
Yeah, it just always seemed like, even when he played, it always seemed like he was always in the news, always controversial, and him and Peyton Manning used to go at it all the time. I just think that chaos is just part of his DNA.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think he does everything in a rush, if you ask me. You know, he had a good thing going, and then it just seems like he's too fickle, you know. He doesn't wait for things to play out, and he now he leaves the WWE to go do college game day. When college game day's over, which is like a 3-4 month gig, what are you going to do the other 8 months or 9 months? And that's the problem here, and that's it. I think, he's one of those guys that read his headlines, and he's a 15-minute car chase. I really do. I think he's got talent, but he doesn't utilize it right, or he gets bad information, whether it's an agent or friends or whatever. I just think he reminds me of a guy in a bar, and everybody's patting him on the back and buying him drinks and telling him how good he is, and then he thinks he's the hottest, commodity since sliced bread. And it goes to his head. And, now I think, he bit off a little more than he can chew, and he's going to reap, the downside of this. I don't think, he's going to do anything with college game day, and I think he gave up an excellent position doing the WWE commentary. Ralph, any thoughts?
Well, he's supposed to, from the story I got, he's supposed to come back to the WWE after college game day. Like I said before, Corey Graves is just keeping the seat warm for him. He's supposed to be coming back. That's what he told Triple H when he left. So, we'll see what goes on beyond that. And you're probably right. He can't, he has to be involved in controversy. And he's already making controversy. He said some statement about a coach. And now this coach wants the NCAA to step in and get on him about what he said about him and wants him to apologize. So, I mean, if this is what this guy does, if he's making money on controversy, let him do it. I mean, Howard Stern made his money on controversy, and I know a guy locally here that makes his money on controversy. So, there's nothing wrong with making money
Albert
on controversy.
From Galway, yeah, regular listener on the show basically chimes in. If you make a deal with WWE, especially Triple H, it's like dealing with the devil. Good luck with him coming back if they say he has an open door. And I used to say that about Vince McMahon, Ralph and Smoking Jim. Anything that Vince McMahon would say, you'd have to have that signed in blood or something because things would change on the fly. But I don't know about that. If their ratings are good with Corey Graves or you know, they start to find a young whippersnapper and they're good luck for him coming back, you know, unless you have it signed down and you know, sealed and delivered, they could say anything they want. And my thoughts with the WWE is you got to have things done in writing because it's such a fickle business that, you know, they could say one thing today and then next day they go, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. And then you look like you had egg on your face. So, Smoking Jim, any thought to that, saying the seat's warm when College Game Day's done? And then I'll give it over to Ralph.
Well, if I'm Triple H, I'm telling McAfee to take a walk, take a hike. Ain't no way I'm bringing him back.
Take a hike.
Thought to that? I mean, you know, he's telling them the seat's warm, but I don't know how far you can trust these guys.
Well, that's what I heard. I read a couple reports that, you know, oh, yeah, you know, you have a job when you come back. But, you know, things change. Opinions change. Decisions change. It's like
okay,
that
well, here we go.
World.
Gio from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, chimes in. He says, you know what, Mark, you're absolutely right. I don't agree with a lot of things you say, but you're right on this one. Case in point, Braun Strowman. Look at all the guys they released. They all brought them back. How did they smooth it over after they were all released? Yeah, that's a great point, Gio. Great, you know.
Well, Vince McMahon backstabbed a lot of people in his life. But over the last 3 or 4 years, he's really been backstabbing people. And, you know, cutting wrestlers, releasing them, keeping them off of TV, just, you know, making them look bad and things like that.
Right.
Well, now they're all over at AEW, some of the ones that, you know, and now they all want to come back. And they can't. Some of them cannot. A lot of them cannot because they sign these long-term deals with Tony Khan over there. So, you know, now Triple H is going to be stuck because he's going to have to start developing some guys because getting these wrestlers, if they're not with the independents, it's going to be really hard because Tony Khan's not letting these guys go from their contracts.
Trevor from Warren, Ohio, chimes in. He said, did you watch AEW? It looked like Little Guido and Nunza were wrestling. Who's the guy that looks like Mark Gastineau and he should be playing for the New York Jets? I think he's talking about the guy in the red that came out in the red thing with the Italian music. What was that guy's name?
Oh,
I just got
God.
A brain fart. Oh, my God. That was
Yeah,
that
I
was
forget
hilarious.
Who it was.
Yeah, I just
got
a brain fart.
That's that Dalhausen.
Yeah.
That's that
Dalhausen.
He comes out. Yeah. He's something else. But if you notice last night, guys, and I don't know if you noticed this, and Smoke and Jim and I talked about this earlier on our TV show tonight, there was a lot of talking going on last night, which is uncommon. Well, the reason for that is because a lot of their wrestlers live in Florida. And they couldn't get out to get to Philly for the matches, so they had to do a makeshift kind of a show. And they had a lot of talking last night, if you noticed. I mean, there was a lot of
right. No, you're right.
So
yeah, and not only that, you know, when you look at it, Extreme Rules are coming up. That'll be in Philly. That's going to get interesting. I think in this caller coming in basically echoes Doug from. Wiltz-Bear coming in to the show. Welcome, man. It's good. First-time listener. He said he thinks WWE is getting saturated with pay-per-views. Seems like every 2 weeks there's a new pay-per-view. How many times have they gone to Saudi Arabia in the last 3 months? And he brings up some interest in this.
Well, they do. They have contracts, guys, to do 2 shows every year in Saudi Arabia. So that's contracted for about 5 or 10 years. I'm not sure what the extension of that contract is. But they have to do 2 shows there every year. That's contracted. So if they have that in contract and, you know, it makes money for them, why not? I mean, you know. But you're right. They do have too many pay-per-views. They do one every month. And, I mean, you know, so they you don't see that with a lot of other wrestling companies. I mean, you know, even AEW stretches out their pay-per-views, and they put pay-per-view style matches on regular TV. I mean, you know, you don't see too much of that in the WWE. Once in a blue moon, you'll see a good match. But, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, championship matches. When was the last time you saw Roman Reigns defend the title on SmackDown? You know, so, I mean,
that's,
you know, AEW sometimes will put together pay-per-view style matches and events on their Dynamite and their Rampage. Like, they just had that this two-hour Rampage last Friday, and then they had, you know, the Dynamite was 2 hours. That's 4 hours of wrestling during the week for them. And they normally don't do that. So, I mean, you know, that's the way it's been with AEW. You know, but WWE, they have pay-per-views every month. Now they're starting to get better with Triple H involved. The cards are getting better. And I have some interesting news about some match changes and additions for Extreme Rules.
Any thought to that, Smoking Jim?
No, I tell you what, you and Ralph laid it out, man. I tell you what, Ralph is the best in the state of Pennsylvania. I know that.
Thanks.
Some guy saying Kurt Angle can coach the Pirates the next year and be on their staff with Tarek Brock.
No, I got some news for you. I got some news for you, Mark. Art Rooney II, the owner of the Steelers, knocked on Mike Tomlin's door this week and listened to this, asked him or told him to hire an offensive consultant. He hasn't hired one yet. But I've been joking around all week long. I've been saying Ben Roethlisberger, and today one of our radio stations here had Cordell Stewart on. So I was going to call in and say, hey, Cordell, are you going to be the new offensive consultant for the Steelers?
Well,
you know, so
I'll tell you one thing, and I know we always take the last 10 minutes or something just to talk a little sports on this great show because the listeners love it because we're getting a lot of sports questions right now. 45 minutes with the wrestling and a little 10 minutes with the sports. If the Steelers lose this Sunday, they're in dire straits because I don't think the Bengals are losing tonight. I think Cleveland's trying to figure it out. They've circled the wagons, and they basically, this is like a kumbaya there. Everybody's believing in something until Deshaun Watson comes back. And the Ravens will always be the Ravens. They got a big game with Buffalo this Sunday, but the Steelers cannot afford to go and lose the Jets. That's in your backyard this Sunday. Any thought to that first with you, Ralph, and then Smoking Jim?
Well, they better not lose to the Jets, or there's really going to be a lot of heat going on around here. We already got stuff going up, Facebook pages, Fire Mac Canada. You know, now I'm hearing rumors that the players want them fired, the offensive coordinator, this offensive consultant. You know, just all kinds of Kenny Pickett stuff. Oh, put in Kenny Pickett. Oh, put in Kenny Pickett. Let me explain something to you, Mark. And Smoking Jim said this to me a long time ago. The Steelers never want to admit they're wrong. But let me tell you what Mike Tomlin's willing to do. Mike Tomlin is willing to lose rather than admit he was wrong. So you know what? He was wrong about Mitch Trubisky when he had this quarterback competition, which he should have never had in the first place because you can't do that in the National Football League. College, yeah, you have a lot of time. You don't have time in the NFL, and this in today's NFL, to do this. You only have 3 preseason games, and your training camp has been shortened down too. So you don't have that kind of time and flexibility to try to do that, okay? So, you know, Mike Tomlin, or actually nowadays I'm calling him King Tomlin because he thinks he's king, and he thinks he knows everything and knows nothing, and this is where we are here with the Steelers. And I think he's lost because he doesn't have a franchise quarterback. I think he don't know what to do. I mean, I really do. I really believe it. I see it on his face. And, you know, he would rather lose than be wrong. And that's exactly the way I look at it. That's the way I see it, Mark.
Smoking Jim?
It's no doubt about it, Mark. This is a must-win early in the season. This is a must-win. If the Pittsburgh Steelers lose to the Jets, their schedule gets so after this. So they have to do whatever it takes to get a victory at home this week against the Jets or the season's already over.
Well, and I look at it like this. I'm not a big Tomlin guy, but I will say this, that, you know, when you listen to guys like Stephen A. Smith And they're so fickle. You know, a good sports guy will be very consistent, and whether he's wrong, he'll still stick with what he put out there. But I will tell you this, the fickle guy goes, well, we need Pickett in here. Trubisky hasn't played bad. You know, the offense is trying to figure out. I think they're playing small ball like they do in Indianapolis and Washington. They'll open up that offense, but teams usually, you find out about teams not in three games. You find out about teams in six, seven games. We haven't hit that mark yet. If we're still struggling after six, seven games, then you can make a move for Pickett. I haven't been a big fan of bringing in quarterbacks. I like them to learn the system like John Elway did and Dan Marino before you start throwing guys in the fire. You see what's happening in San Francisco and Chicago and the Jets. These guys aren't ready for it. They're not ready for they've studied the playbook and looked it over for 2 minutes, and now you throw them in the fire, and then they don't do good, and then you're drafting a quarterback the next year in the draft. It's crazy. Any thoughts to that, Ralph? And then we'll give it over to Smoke and Jim.
Yeah, Smoke and Jim and I talked about this on our TV show earlier. You know, you throw when you draft the number one quarterback, 90% or more of these teams in the NFL will start that quarterback at the beginning of the season, and get him into the fire, get him going on some things. Unless there's a veteran on the team that can carry the load until he's ready. But most of the time, most first-round draft pick quarterbacks are ready to go. And if you notice, most of them get thrown into the fire. The only one that really hasn't been thrown into the fire is Jordan Love. He's been behind Aaron Rodgers there. Other than that, the majority of these quarterbacks, if you've noticed, the Murray from Cardinals, from the Cardinals, Justin Fields in Chicago, and, the ones that have been drafted in the first round, most 90% of them get thrown in the first game of the year, and they get their feet wet by learning on the job and learning as they go. And most of them are staff teams anyway that never really did anything the year before. So, you know, but the Steelers are a winning team, believe it or not. I mean, you know, you hate to say it, but Mike Tomlin has a winning record. But as I've said many times, he went to two Super Bowls and won one with Bill Cowher's players. He's had 5-6 years with Bill Cowher's players. He had a Super Bowl franchise quarterback that he inherited when he took that job with the Steelers. There's no other coaches that I've ever been aware of that have come into a job where the franchise quarterback is right there. Can you think of one? Because I don't know of one at this point. So, I mean, you know, that's why Mike Tomlin's been lucky all these years. And sometimes, as I've said, it's better to be lucky than good. Mike Tomlin, when he's not good, he's been lucky.
Yeah, Smoking Jim, any thought?
Well, I tell you what, Mitch Trubisky's a nice guy, but Pittsburgh is blue collar, man. He just doesn't fit with the Pittsburgh Steelers is looking at for a quarterback. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks, the good ones, have always been either extremely talented or a Pied Piper. Bubby Brister was a Pied Piper. Team followed him anywhere. They thought he was great. Duck was a Pied Piper. They went duck hunting with Duck all week. You know, Bradshaw and Big Ben was extremely talented. Cordell Stewart, you know, had all the talent in the world. Mitch does not take charge of the huddle. He's a veteran quarterback. They won't let him audibleize. I've never heard of that before in my life where you come up to the line of scrimmage of an experienced quarterback and can't audibleize. I wonder if that would ever happen to your Johnny Unitas. I think he'd have ripped the throat out of any offensive coordinator to tell him what to do or Peyton Manning. So, hey, listen, Pittsburgh Steelers are the only team in the NFL that hadn't had a 20-yard run or a 40-yard pass, like Mark Sanders playing small ball, but they got big play talent at the receivers and at the tight end position. And I tell you what, Jaylen Warren is going to get more and more play time because that guy reminds me of Barry Foster. When he gets the football, he's hitting north-south right away, and he breaks a few tackles as well. So I think you'll see Najee Harris catching the ball more out of the backfield, maybe 100 receptions, because can't nobody stop him as a receiver out of the backfield. But I really like that little running back they got from Oklahoma State.
Well, we just got word that Clayton Trutor says, guys, save the seat. I'll be in there next week. I miss y'all.
We miss you,
great.
Too, Clayton.
That's good. Yeah, we miss you, too, Clayton. Yeah. Great.
Clayton will be in next week, same time, same channel. As we wind this thing down in 5 minutes, we'll go through the rants. Give me a rant that's been bothering you this week, Ralph. We'll give it over to Smoke and Jim, and then I got one.
All right, I'll tell you what's been bothering me. And I've been on this for a while now, like white on rice, okay? The college officiating. If you watch the Pitt-Tennessee game, they gave Tennessee 14 points. The officiating has been horrible, all right? This past Saturday, they gave Rhode Island a touchdown because they called a pass interference call, and the defender didn't even touch the guy, and they called a pass interference call. This officiating in college has got to go, Mark. And now the ACC is starting to suspend officials, which is great. I hope it continues because it needs to happen. Pitt, over the last 4 years, has been screwed by these ACC officials so many times in so many games. And people think I'm crazy when I say this, oh, I'm picking on the officials. No, the officials do not do – when you don't do your job, that's when I have something to say. And the officials are not doing their job. You can't do nothing about it. They're like the weatherman. They call the wrong forecast. The weatherman still has a job. Well, that's the officials in college football.
Well, I will tell you this. David from Point Charlotte, Florida, in between, rain and everything down there, says, you think you have problems in Pittsburgh, Ralph? Come join, watch us play football down here. Florida and Miami is like watching a clown show. Yeah, exactly. What happened to those two? You know, growing up, I can't remember the last time, you know, growing up and in going to high school, Miami, Florida, and Florida State were always in the top 10. Boy, how the mighty have fallen. What happened to Miami and Florida, man? Unbelievable.
Miami lost that game to Eastern Tennessee State, or Middle Tennessee State, or whatever Tennessee State.
Yeah, and then they
won
the week before. They got beat by Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And Pitt will go down there and whack them at the end of the year, I'm sure. But Pitt opens up a little ACC play here, Georgia Tech. Any thoughts on that, Smoke and Jim? We'll give it over to Ralph, and then if you have a rant real fast.
Yeah, my rant is, oh, man, Aaron Judge. I mean, my Yankees, brother, he don't have a contract. They say next year he could be playing for the Mets. Say it ain't so, Joe.
It ain't so, Joe.
Oh, my.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's going to own a couple Brinks trucks before he gets out of New York, and it's going to be amazing. He bet on himself, rightfully so, and like we bet on ourselves at this show. Clayton Trutor in next week. Billy North wants to come in the following week, boys. A little baseball on the show, 70s Oakland A's. So that ought to be a barn burner. Ralph, as I give it over to you, what's on your agenda? How can people get a hold of you?
Well, on my agenda tonight was to get home safe from the TV station because I was coming out the main highway to come home to my house or to my apartment, and from the TV station, and some car decides in its infinite wisdom it's going to stop in the middle of the road and try to make a left-hand turn to go onto the other side of the road, and we almost ended up getting rear-ended because we had to stop because the two cars in front of us were stopped. So, I almost didn't make it to the show tonight, but fortunately for God and myself, I made it here. So, other than that, it's my birthday on Saturday. I'm planning on going out. My wife and my mom have something special for me. So that's going on. I'm not going to the Pitt game. And so that's what I have going on. I want to catch the Steeler game on Sunday. We'll see what they do against the Jets. And my show's next week. That's about it for right now. And you can reach me
baby.
At Ralph
October.
Williams.
Yep, your birthday coming up.
Yep, it's on Saturday. And you can reach me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com, Facebook, Wimkin, Twitter. And also, don't forget on YouTube to subscribe to my channel and watch all my archive shows. Also, don't forget to watch the archive version of last night's Talkin' Wrestling on YouTube as well. And don't forget to subscribe. It's on my YouTube channel. So, Smoke and Jim.
Happy birthday, Ralph, and you can reach me at Instagram, Smoking Jim Frazier, Facebook, Jim Frazier.
Thank you, Smoking
Well,
Jim.
I'll tell you, and a big happy birthday to you, and I know we'll get it out there when it
Thank you.
Becomes on Saturday. As we wind this show down, guys, for Ralph Williams in Pittsburgh, Smoking Jim Frazier in
Thank
Pittsburgh.
Thank you, everybody, for your comments.
Yeah,
and
yours
tonight.
Truly.
Thank you.
Mark Mancini in Los Angeles.
Be
Stay
safe.
Tuned. Show number 4, and I don't know if you've heard it, that crazy clown show out of Indianapolis really is a bizarre one, but that'll start out at the top of the hour. Yep. Maybe we should have the Twilight Zone sponsor that one after that, coming into the Duel in the Desert, and then we wrap it up. Till next week, Clayton Trutor joins the crowd. Have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in.
Be safe. Good night.